In today's big question, we will ask you, would you vote for a third party candidate for president? If the major party nominees for president are Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and you aren't fans of either of them, a fan of either of them, would you vote for a third party? Every Wednesday at this time, we look at an issue facing the state or the nation, and we find a guest or guests to talk about it. We thought today, since it looks as though I know it's not a done deal yet, it looks as though the presumptive nominees from the major parties will be Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And according to some polls, they are the most unpopular presidential candidates in quite some time. So with that in mind, could a strong third-party candidate jump into this race and actually have a chance? What do you think? And would you vote for a third-party candidate? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is James McCann, professor of political science at Purdue University. He has conducted research on divisive candidate nominations with each of the major parties, as well as the emergence of third parties, and he is also doing some work investigating how immigrants respond to current politics. Good morning.
And good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks very much for being here. According to 538, a website, I guess, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are both more strongly disliked than any nominee at this point in the past 10 presidential cycles. With that in mind, do you see an opening for a third-party candidate in 2016?
Well, a minute ago you asked your listeners if they would vote for a third-party candidate, and to put some perspective on that, I have a feeling a lot of them would say yes. When you look at some of the major polls, like the Gallup polls going back over 10 years, it's not unusual in these polls to see 60% or more of the survey respondents saying, well, yeah, we need a third party. Interestingly, this is true not only among independents, who, you know, 80% of them more or less will say, yes, we need a third party, but even people who say they're Democrats or Republicans, a third or as many as a half will say they still would like a third party. So there's a certain welcoming attitude out there for these kinds of things.
So we might want that, but would a third party, especially this year, have a chance?
Well, there's some trickiness there. Actually, there's a lot of trickiness in this particular cycle. In general, though, it's tough to run outside of the major party field. You know, you can point to lots of interesting and colorful examples like Ross Perot or George Wallace, but those are sort of the exceptions that prove the rule. In any sort of general election climate, it's really tricky for third-party candidates to get traction.
So how big an effort would it take? What does it take to get an independent candidate on the ballot at this point?
It takes a heck of a lot. I mean, there are administrative hurdles that would need to be crossed. Just getting your name, if you wanted to run as an independent, you'd have to qualify. If you want to be competitive nationally, you got to get on the ballot in all these states. And there are ballot qualification guidelines that are sort of haphazardly arrayed across the different states. In some states, you have to get a fair number of signatures to get on the ballot. In total, you'd have to get close to 1 million signatures across the entire country to qualify for all state ballots, and you'd have to do it quickly. And just the other day, actually, the deadline in Texas closed to register or to get on the ballot as an independent presidential candidate. Mm. So time is very short. You know, it's possible if somebody emerged and wanted to be on the ballot for Texas, they could litigate it out and try to, you know, pry their way in. But that's just to say that, you know, from here on out, the clock is very much ticking. And by sort of this time next month or you know, shortly thereafter, for all practical purposes, that's just not an option.
Yeah. Well, and we are hearing, though, of a Republican Party and or you know, movers and shakers in the Republican Party trying to find a an independent run like someone like Mitt Romney. I mean, could Mitt Romney seriously do this?
Well, if Mitt Romney wanted to, he would start out with some serious advantages. He's got built-in name recognition that having a couple of times I'll run for president. So he would be a very strong independent candidate, you have to think. On the other hand, he would still face, you know, many of the same kinds of challenges that other third-party candidates would face. You need to get on the ballot, and presumably they could, you know, get their act together to do that, although that would not be a small feat. But then even just sort of making a compelling case to say, you know, vote for me, why? You know, what is that's missing? And what is the sort of issue niche that he's going to try and land on that isn't otherwise represented? And that's tricky because both candidates, as you say, they are unpopular. As you know, you brought up the factoid out of 538's blog, and that's true. You know, there are liabilities, but on the other hand, Mitt Romney would come with certain liabilities as well. And in terms of his own issue stances, where might he fit in? Where is the gap that he would fill with his candidacy? And you know, that'd be a real question that would have to get addressed, and it would have to get addressed really quickly. So, you know, that would be a big challenge.
Yeah, Mitt Romney did meet privately with Weekly Standard editor and conservative commentator William Kristol, who's leading the effort to draft an independent candidate. Romney has previously said he is not going to run, but he's also been very vocal in his dislike of Trump. What do you think, James McCann? Do you think Mitt Romney is giving serious thought to this?
Well, he has already, as you say, given serious thought to stopping Trump. So if you wanted to go in, not with the intention of winning exactly, but I've heard the rationale expressed, not by Romney himself, but people like William Kristol and others saying, well, the idea would just be to get a more acceptable Republican front runner out there to help, you know, give voice to the traditional, you know, party folks, or to help with the down ballot congressional candidates, gubernatorial candidates, and so on. So if the goal is that, and also along the way to stop Trump, then that's probably an approachable goal, at least to stop Trump, because you have to think that if Romney got in, or somebody at that level, another, you know, sort of conventional Republican type, that would pull away a fair number of votes. You know, such a person might not be able to come out on top in any electoral college sort of scenario, but nevertheless, it would undoubtedly hurt Trump.
Interesting. So realistically, if a third party candidate were to get in, would his or her goal be to actually win or to play spoiler?
Well, that is, I guess that's a question. Maybe you'd have to ask some of the people who are advocating this, but it seems like they're arguing a lot of different things. If you want to convince somebody to come in with the expectation of winning, then that's very much an uphill challenge. So,
and of course, supporters of Bernie Sanders are still hoping he can pull out the Democratic nomination, but math says he probably won't be able to do that. And he has said he will not run as a third party. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that at all. And Hillary Clinton is fairly close. I believe, and there's some fuzziness here, but she's about 150 delegates now short of the numeric clinch. And it looks likely that she'll be getting that before long. So, I imagine at this point, well, I think the Sanders folks themselves would say the goal is to just kind of continue to shape the discourse on the Democratic side. So you're in the race. You want to be competitive to just prove a point that we count. We need a seat at the platform writing table. We need a voice.
Well, we had Carrie in Fort Atkinson say that she would not vote for a third-party candidate. She says she did that with Ralph Nader, and it didn't work. She says that she didn't want a party to get in power that would privatize the Veterans Administration, Social Security, and Medicare. She wants her children to have Social Security. So I guess she's saying that, in any case, she's saying that voting for Ralph Nader didn't win, and some would say that helped George Bush to win over Al Gore.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. In something that close as Florida in the year 2000, the small margin that Nader got, if you had given it to Gore, yeah, I mean, it would have been a different scenario. So, you know, that's by it may well turn out to be very close this time around, which is actually another kind of challenge that any third-party candidate would face. If you have candidates that are somewhat equally matched, right, then it's harder to break and go with that third party for exactly the reasons being articulated. You sort of settle on half a loaf if you need to settle in order to get somebody who might be more winnable.
We are talking with James McCann, a professor of political science at Purdue University. He has researched the divisive candidate nominations with each of the major parties, as well as the emergence of third parties. And we are talking about the possibility of a third party contender for the 2016 race. And we're asking you, would you vote for a candidate who was not the Republican or Democratic Party nominee? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you know who that person is? And why would you cast your vote for that third party contender over the major party contenders? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. And this is our online big question, which you can vote in online. According to 538, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are both more strongly disliked than any nominee at this point in the past 10 presidential cycles. Third parties are looking to capitalize on the unpopularity, and there is talk of a major third party candidate jumping into the race. With that in mind, would you consider voting for a third party or independent candidate in November? Yes or no? Why or why not? Who would you like that to be, if you are hoping for that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is James McCann, professor of political science at Purdue University. He has conducted research on divisive candidate nominations with each of the major parties, as well as the emergence of third parties. And let's take our first caller. Gary in Merrill is with us. Hi, Gary.
Yes, good morning. With all due respect, I think your guest has it wrong. The American people have went for the last 25 years with the treachery of both Clinton and the Bushes, and in this election, the chosen two were Bush or Clinton, and we rejected them for what is almost still a third-party candidate that says, we're not going to be shipping your jobs overseas, we're not going to be destroying Middle East countries for some odd reason, and I'm going to make America great again, and that's why he's not liked by either party. And I think he is our third party candidate, and he just becomes more popular all the time because he's sticking up for Americans.
So that he is Donald Trump. James McCann, what do you say to that?
Gary is sort of likening Donald Trump to third party candidates, and actually I think there's some usefulness in thinking about that comparison. When you think about Trump's message of kind of economic protectionism, I mean, there are definite echoes of Ross Perot from the early and mid-1990s in that. And when you look at kind of Trump's appeal in terms of maybe ethnic or identity politics, social group kinds of politics, there are echoes of George Wallace and the populism there. And both of those candidates ran, that was in 1968, okay? So both of those candidates ran from outside the major party field, and they did relatively well. They didn't get any, they didn't come close to winning, but nevertheless, they did respectable by independent candidate standards. What's unique about Trump, as Gary is pointing out, is that you see this sort of third-party appeal, the, you know, giving voice to issues that otherwise might not be there, or a style of campaigning that you don't usually see in the major parties. You see that being assimilated in one of your major parties, and that's a new twist. And I think that's really the big driver here, what we're seeing about with all the internal conflict on the Republican side.
Oh, Carly on Facebook says, if Hillary Clinton succeeds in buying the Democratic Party nomination, I will vote for Jill Stein. Jill Stein, a Green Party candidate who I believe was on the ballot last go-around. What about Jill Stein and the Green Party?
Yeah, Jill Stein did run in 2012. She did not poll very well. She got about 1/3% of the vote nationally. I wouldn't imagine the Green Party. I mean, as you mentioned before the break, Bernie Sanders has said he wouldn't run as an independent. You know, I would expect when the time comes, he'll give an endorsement for Hillary Clinton. And I wouldn't expect a sort of independent or a third-party candidate from kind of the Sanders camp without Sanders actually being there. But, you know, to give voice to those kinds of issues, I wouldn't expect to see a lot of action there.
We have had some callers this hour and in the past who have said that they will write in Bernie Sanders if he doesn't get the Democratic nomination. Do you suspect many will do that?
I wouldn't expect that, actually. And that's not to say that the Sanders voters are not extremely genuine and committed to Sanders and the cause that motivates them. But I do think that in a general election environment where the choices are much starker and you're looking at, you know, a Democratic versus a sort of new, I don't know if you want to call him a traditional Republican at all, but the Democrat versus the Republican or the Democrat versus Trump, I think when you see that sort of more polarized choice, I think it would ask a lot of a Sanders supporter to kind of, you know, forsake Hillary Clinton and write in that candidate. It's going to happen, but I wouldn't expect it to happen in great numbers.
Let's go to Richard in Monticello next. Hi, Richard.
Hello. How are you guys today?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I think there's too much at stake. America's too polarized to start throwing votes at a third-party candidate that they know cannot win. And if you're of a leaning liberal, you would be putting more support to Trump by wasting that vote. And if you're more right-wing, you'd be putting support to Hillary by wasting that vote. So I think the third-party candidate's really a dead issue in a polarized as we are today.
What do you think, James McCann?
I think Richard is putting his finger on something important, that this idea of a wasted vote in general, I think that's a very important. And the way, given that the way we elect our candidates, which is a winner-take-all system, it's asking an awful lot to support somebody like, you know, the Green Party candidate or a Libertarian candidate if you don't ultimately think that they're going to be electable.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, we have also heard, and maybe it's a very small percentage of Republican voters who may have supported another of the Republican candidates, but say they cannot back Trump, never Trump. And we've heard some of them say that they would vote for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's been a curious thing, and I think it's liable to be genuine. And even some big party donors as well, like the Koch brothers, I believe, have come out strongly against Trump. Yeah, I think there might be some defections. We've already seen some very high-level defections in this election cycle. So, whether that equates then to support for some alternative presidential candidate or not, right? I see that as being kind of a less likely scenario. But you might see more abstention, or you might see, you know, noticeable lack of endorsements. People who had to drop out, like Ted Cruz, who he's got a decision to make. You know, how is he going to go in this election cycle? And he's not the only one. So there are, you know, a lot of different choices available to express your displeasure, including you can say, well, I'll just back Hillary Clinton. And for what it's worth, Clinton, as she gets closer to clinching the nomination, she's presumably going to kind of be more mindful of that changing strategic environment, and there might be some recalibrating in terms of her own outreach or her messaging because of that.
Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson is in the news these days. He recently said the 2016 race is a real opportunity for the Libertarian Party. So is what do you make of the Libertarian Party? Isn't the Libertarian Party on most of the ballots?
Yeah, they're on 33 by the most recent count I've seen state ballots. They're the biggest of the non-major parties. And he ran in 2012. He didn't get very far. He got, I believe, 1% of the vote in the general election. That equated to about 1 million votes. So that's not nothing, but it was only 1%. You'd think in this environment, the Libertarian Party would be more competitive. Some of its appeal will be attractive to disgruntled Republicans who are, very dissatisfied with the Trump nomination.
We are talking about the possibility of a serious third party contender in the 2016 presidential race in today's Big Question. And we will get to your questions and views on this in just a moment. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is James McCann, professor of political science at Purdue University. You can also vote in our online poll, which you can find at wpr.org/Joy. And if it's not there now, we'll put it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In today's Big Question, we wonder what you think about a third party candidate or independent candidate for president. Polls show that presumptive nominees of both the major parties, Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton, polls say that they are some of the most unpopular presidential candidates in quite some time. And there is an effort to try to recruit independent or third-party candidates to run. And we wonder what you think about that. We wonder if you would vote for one. If so, who? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about the possibility of a major third-party candidate and what this might take to get his or her campaign off the ground with our guest, James McCann, a professor of political science at Purdue University, who has researched the emergence of third parties, among other things. And before we go back to the phones, Professor McCann, I'm just trying to get your thoughts in terms of you do not think there will be a major third party contender, and even if there is one, you don't think that major third party contender would win the election.
Yeah, well, I think it's unlikely to entice a serious candidate into run as an independent. I see some major hurdles, and we're talking about a very short-term time horizon here. So to get your name on all 50 state ballots, to set up a decent mobilization organization, to find your issue niche and decide what you're going to run on, that would be tricky. And then come the fall campaign, whether you'd be included or not in the presidential debates, that would be an open question. It would just be hard, I think, to ask somebody to come in and spend months of their life in this intense environment if it may never be the case that they could be truly competitive.
Let's go to Chris in Eau Claire now. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. I was going to ask James about presidential debates. A third party, if they don't have access to a national stage, is going to go unheard for the most part. What steps would be necessary for a third party to gain access to the national debates?
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. Sort of norm in place is that you need to poll at a certain level, 15% or better is a rule of thumb. And that gets you access because, it's worth noting that in any given election, voters across the country have dozens of different choices for president, right? There are a lot of minor parties and minor candidates, but they truly are minor. And so the decision in staging the debates is that you can't just let everybody on, that would turn into just, pandemonium. So you have to have this decision rule that you have to show that you're competitive as a minor candidate. And so if somebody came on, if Romney came on, for instance, somebody of his level, presumably he could poll at least, you know, at that minimum threshold, and he might get a podium there at the debate stage. But if you get somebody, you know, a senator from Nebraska or some others who, you know, have expressed openness to this idea, you know, it's not clear whether in this environment you could really gain that kind of traction. And so as Chris is suggesting, this becomes a sort of, you know, self-defeating proposition that if you don't poll at a certain level, then in turn you're not going to have access to a lot of media attention, which then further reduces your visibility. So that's yet another impediment that these minor party candidates face.
Bernie in Elkhorn is with us. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. If the Democratic superdelegates select Hillary Clinton, I will vote for Jill Stein of the Green Party. And one reform that's needed to give third parties a chance at any position on the ballot is instant runoff voting in general elections. Just the ability to have a first choice like we have now, and then an optional second choice. So the people who are afraid if they voted for Jill Stein that it would help defeat Hillary Clinton could vote for Jill Stein as number one, Hillary Clinton as an optional number two. That is a reform that the Republican and Democratic parties don't want. But unfortunately, the Democratic Party doesn't hesitate to criticize people like Ralph Nader, but they've done absolutely nothing to work toward instant runoff voting. And getting rid of that spoiler effect would give third parties some traction wherever they've got a candidate on the ballot. And you can see, for example, with the debates, the two major parties control those debates. After Rothbro got 19%, they were determined not to let any third party or independent candidate into those debates. Anybody with a mathematical chance to win the election nationwide should be in those presidential debates. There's only a handful of people that could be there, but the two major parties, just like with ballot access, have colluded to make sure we don't hear any independent voices.
Thank you, Bernie. What about that instant runoff reform, James McCann?
Yeah, no, Bernie makes some very interesting, thoughtful points. Yeah, and in terms of that runoff model, I think the general point is very well taken, that a first-past-the-post, winner-take-all system that we have in our general elections is pretty, I don't know if you want to say crude or blunt, you know, it forces voters just to decide kind of, you know, among maybe the lesser of two evils. I think the general point he's making that if we had more candidates out there, that would enliven the debate, it would increase voter engagement. You know, I think that's correct, and you can find comparative examples around the world in other democracies where this kind of system is in place, so that you sort of you can vote your first choice, but then you rank your candidates in terms of preferences, and so it's a way of getting a majority winner while at the same time not having to compromise on stating your first preference. So yeah, there are a lot of reforms that are very thinkable in terms of our system. You know, whether there's, as Bernie is suggesting, whether you can have the political will necessary to do some major revision, well, that's an open question.
Next, we go to Mark in Lake Geneva. Hello, Mark.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes. What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are that we need to play a longer game. That is to say, when I say we, I mean progressives, need to play a longer game. Because every election cycle, we're thinking about whether or not a third-party candidate can win that year. And since about around the time Clinton, the first Clinton, got in, Bill, politics have been moving completely further right. So I think what we need to do is go ahead and vote for a Green Party candidate or write-in, and take and understanding that that person isn't going to win, but that if enough of us have the bravery to go ahead and vote and then deal with whatever happens. Your guest said that they have that, you know, there's like that margin you have to be able to cross. Is it 15%? Is a little more? You need to get close enough to that becomes a story. And people start thinking, wait, maybe we could do this if we just thought we could, because, of course, every cycle we're told, no, you're going to get another Al Gore situation. We have to be willing to take the chance for the long run. Not necessarily this election, perhaps the next one. I'll take my comments off here.
All right. James McCann?
Yeah, Mark makes some interesting points, too. Yeah, in terms of the long game, I think the history of third parties, and this cuts against, you know, kind of Mark's preference, but when you look at when third parties and independent candidates do well, typically they're kind of flashes in the pan. And by that I mean, you know, if you take Ross Perot as an example, he got in 1992 about 1 out of 5 votes. But then he ran again in 1996, and he was just kind of a shadow of his former self. You know, he got not even half of that in that second go-around. And the reason for that is major parties, and particularly the Republican Party, went out of their way to pull out, pull towards them the Perot voters and sort of capitalize on some of the issues that Perot gave voice to in 1992. So the history in third-party politics is that the major parties are extremely attentive to what's happening outside of that two-party fold. And if any independent candidate from the progressive end, as Mark is, or any other end, whenever they show some stuff, okay, the major parties take notice, and they'll recalibrate as to the best extent possible to sort of sweep up a lot of that energy, a lot of those voters. And so it's very difficult over the long run for independent and third-party candidates to be more than just a flash in the pan.
Let's go next to Jerome in Mequon. Hi, Jerome.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My comment is that your guest keeps using Ross Perot as an illustration of the almost impossibility of being a successful third-party candidate, and yet he should be using that, you know, Ross Perot as an illustration of what a third-party candidate can do. Ross Perot came into an election atmosphere very much like our present atmosphere, and he only put in $10 million of his own money in no grassroots organization. And yet, because of the atmosphere and his outspokenness, he was doing extremely well. At one point in time, he was out polling either both of the major party candidates.
Because, Jerome, we're almost out of time. Is that right, James McCann?
Yeah, well, he did months before the general election in 1992. He was doing very well in trial heat polls. And as Jerome suggests, he did quite well, relatively well by the standards of independent candidates. About 1 out of 5 votes went to Perot in 92, which is an extraordinary accomplishment.
Yeah. As we tell us what you expect to happen when it comes to the possibility of a serious third-party contender.
Yeah, it remains to be seen, but I would expect in a couple of weeks there's going to be much more attention on the Libertarian National Convention. That's when they'll formally announce their presidential candidate. They didn't do so well in 2012, but this is a different environment. You know, all of the talk of third parties and independent candidates, that's a symptom of dissatisfaction with Trump. And given how polarizing the internal contest is there still on the Republican side, I would expect more talk to continue. But I do see some serious impediments for a significant third-party challenge at this point.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Joy.
James McCann, professor of political science at Purdue University. And now in our remaining moment or two, Bill Martins is here to let us know how that dollar-for-dollar match is going.
We've got a little bit of room before we hit that $5,000 mark, so if you haven't made your pledge yet, there's still time for you to have it doubled, but you got to act fast and make that pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We do not want to leave a dollar of that $5,000 challenge grant on the table, and we do have a room for you to have your pledge doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you might be wondering, how much should I give? Well, that amount is entirely up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs and programs that will keep you informed and entertained all year long. So make your pledge in any amount and get it doubled right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have had pledges coming in from $5 up through multiple thousands of dollars. So there's a pledge somewhere in between that is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Check out Patrick from Madison. He says, long longtime listener of your vital information. And if thank you very much for that, Patrick. And if this program is vital to your morning, make a pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you to my producers, Bill Martins and to Brianne Shasso and to Nyasia Ellison. Thank you for pledging to Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.